2 Corinthians 5, we're going to read verses, I'm going to read verses 1 through 9 of 2 Corinthians 5. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who hath also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." Here in this passage, we find two foundational truths to the Christian life that are really essential to our success. We're going to be looking at two foundational truths of the Christian life that are essential to our success as believers. You know, when you get in a, maybe a, if you're in a particular job, whatever that might be, and all of a sudden you get in a high-pressure situation. You know, if you've received training for that job, you've been trained how to respond when a certain situation arises so that you do not make a foolish decision. There are certain jobs that it's critical that when something happens, you respond in the correct manner. And as believers, it is critical that we learn to respond to life situations in the correct manner. You know, when certain things happen, our feelings or what we see, we can easily be overcome by them. And if we have not trained ourselves to respond biblically to the situations that arise in life or the trials or the troubles that come, we can find ourselves making the wrong decisions and going down a road that we never intended to go down. And this morning, I'd like to look at two truths that are foundational to the Christian life. Last Sunday night, we looked at some of the trials and how the Apostle Paul responded to these trials that he was facing in the ministry. He talked about in verses 8 and 9 how he was troubled on every side. There was no way out in a sense of there was pressure on all sides, but yet not distressed. He still recognized that there was a way out of these things. It was not something that he was just completely overwhelmed by, didn't know where to turn, and just gave up on life. He was perplexed. It was something that it was even affecting his mind, but he was not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And then he talks about how he faced some of those things. Verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And how we cannot focus on the hardships that we are going to, but we need to put those things in light of eternity. Light affliction, but for a moment, worketh for us what? A far more exceeding and eternal what? Weight. Light affliction as opposed to the weight of glory that is for eternity. And then we come to chapter 5, which is really closely connected to this passage. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, So it talks about an earthly house of this tabernacle or this tent. Now, if you are just moving into Mequonago, I'm guessing that the first thing you would not do would probably not be to, maybe you'd find out where the local Walmart store is, but the first thing you probably wouldn't do is say, all right, we need to go to a Walmart or maybe it's a sporting goods place and let's find a really nice tent. You know, we'd like to spend a lot of time here in Mequonago, and so let's make sure we find a really nice tent that we can live in when we move to this area. Well, no, you're not going to go shopping for a tent unless you're just coming to the area for maybe a few days of vacation and you're going to find a campground somewhere. Okay, a tent is something that is temporary. And he refers, it says, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. All right, we have an edifice of God. This is something grand. We have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So this body that we are in, this is something temporary. It's going to be replaced with a new body, something that's eternal. And Paul recognized in these trials that he was going through, in the hardships that he was going through in the ministry, maybe the pain that he was feeling, he was persecuted, he was cast down. And you think of the stripes that he bore for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and imagine the great pain and the agony that he went through. Imagine the stoning that he received as they left him for dead. And he says, you know what? We know that if our earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And Paul was not focusing on those present hardships that he was having. Yes, he recognized that it was painful. And it wasn't something necessarily that he, so to speak, just enjoyed, looking forward to the next time, you know, do it again. But he was looking forward to that new body, that new building, so to speak, that he was going to be given when he entered heaven, and in the future, what he was going to receive. His body was going to be resurrected. And so what does he say here? Verse number one, he says, for we know. Later on in the passage, he says, where is it? Therefore, verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. What do we find here? We find that the Christian life is based on truth rather than on feeling. You know, the Apostle Paul was feeling some great pain. Had felt, maybe we should put it that way, had felt great pain. The Apostle Paul had gone through great hardships. But he did not base his decisions coming out of this great hardship he was having and having no thought of truth. But he based his response to that trial on the truth, on what he knew to be the truth. And the truth was, is that this body that was feeling the pain was something that was temporary. And someday he was going to have an eternal body, one that was glorified. And one day he was going to be eternally with his Maker. And when we go through these things, we need to understand that we cannot base our decisions merely on some whim because we are experiencing some hardship and we want out of it right now. And so we're going to do whatever we need to get out of that hardship immediately instead of focusing on what we know to be true. Now in verse number 2, he says, for in this we groan. Now what's a groan? Well, to express oneself involuntarily in the face of an undesirable circumstance. I'm sure there's probably all of us at some time in our lives have groaned over something that we have experienced. It's a natural reaction. Maybe you were hurt, and you know, maybe your first response as a child is just to cry, you know, and you've heard your children cry or scream or whatever else goes on when they get hurt. But as you grow older and you get hurt, maybe you just sit there in agony and you're groaning over the pain that you're going through. You know, groaning may come, but what is the groaning all about? Paul, what was he groaning about? Well, he was looking forward to heaven. He was looking forward to the new dwelling place that he was going to receive for himself. Notice his response. He says in verse 2, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." So he recognized the temporary dwelling place of his body, but he was what? Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, the permanent. You know, when we receive a new body, it's not a temporary one. If you are saved this morning, when you receive a new body, it's not a temporary one, but it is permanent. The pain, the agony, the things that he was experiencing, he recognized that someday they're what? They're going to be gone. And he was, in his spirit, he was, in a sense, sighing for those things, waiting for them to be accomplished. But what happens many times to people that go through these things in their life? Instead of that groaning being something looking forward to the joys of heaven, instead of looking forward to what heaven is going to be all about, instead of looking forward to being with their Savior, as he says in verse number 8, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be what? To be present with the Lord." Instead of having that looking forward to coming out of their groaning or an expression of their groaning is a way of trying to get away from God. Of just being overcome by the circumstance and wanting just get rid of it. You know, maybe they stop coming to church. You know, maybe they stop reading their Bibles. Maybe they stop spending time in prayer instead of the outgrowth of this groaning being something of looking forward to more time with the Lord. Instead of it looking forward to being able to experience the joy of the Christian life without the pain of this temporal body. And I wonder this morning, the groaning that maybe you're experiencing because of the aspects of this life that we experience because of the physical nature of it, is it tending to make you look forward to heaven? To being able to look forward to that time where you will be with the Lord? Or is it causing you to draw back some? To spend less time with God when it ought to be a time where you are spending more time with God? And then in verse number 3 is somewhat of a maybe difficult verse to interpret. There are maybe two things that could come out of this. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. It could be here, so to speak, a warning in the midst of it. That don't just maybe assume that you're one that's going to be clothed upon, that's going to receive this new body. You know, we need to make sure that we truly have made, that we have been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, you know, the church at Laodicea was had all these wonderful things, but Christ said, "You are, thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You have nothing." You know, this morning we need to make sure that we are going to be clothed with that new body, that we have salvation. It also could be emphasizing the fact that we are not going to be left, so to speak, you know, without a body. There, we are all going to receive a what? A resurrected, a glorified body. Verse number 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being what? Being burdened. You know, the Apostle Paul, there were burdens. There were things that were what? That were weighing him down. That is what a burden is. But he says, not for that we would be unclothed. All right, so the Apostle Paul and the groaning and the burdening that he was facing in his life, he was not just sitting there thinking, I just want to get rid of all this pain and agony right now. I'm just sick of it. It's done with. I just want to die. Be done with it. He's like, he says, being burdened not for that we would be unclothed. But notice what he was looking for. He says, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. The Apostle Paul wasn't sitting here just saying, just hope all this stuff is over with and I'm done with it. You know, that I can be unclothed and this will all be over. But what was he focusing on? Not necessarily the cessation of all these terrible things that he was facing. But he was what? He was looking forward to what was going to take place. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And this mortality that he was in, this fleeting life, so to speak, this mortal flesh, something that's going to pass away, might be swallowed up of life. And really, that was Paul's focus in his life. Not letting his eyes get focused on the temporal things. Remember what he said in verse number 18 of the previous chapter. Well, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And he's continuing that thought that we must not focus on the here and now, the things that are seen, whether they're hardships, whether they're trials, whether they're the things of this world. We must not focus on those things, but we must put our eyes on the eternal. And if in life, if we're not careful, we can be overcome by the things that we are experiencing on a day-to-day basis. And for each person in this room, it could be something different. For some people, it might be something in common. But we must not get overwhelmed by those things, become distressed, so to speak. But we must focus on those things which are eternal. And the Apostle Paul was looking for to be clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. But Paul recognized that this future glory was only made possible by God. God was preparing him for it. Verse number 5. Now he that hath wrought us, God was working this in him, was preparing him for it. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame or the very same thing, this what? Mortality being swallowed up of life. Receiving this eternal house. He that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. God is the one that is going to make all of this possible. Who hath what? Also, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. It is a sure thing that is going to take place. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is given as a down payment of that which is assured to take place in the future. In Ephesians chapter 2, or Ephesians chapter 1, in verses 13 and 14, talks about the earnest of the Spirit. Here is the earnest of our inheritance. Verse 13. It says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the what? The redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So again here in this passage, looking forward to the what? The redemption of the purchased possession. And that is an assured thing. And one way we know that it is an assured thing is because of the Holy Spirit of God that is indwelling our lives. You know, if the Holy Spirit is given as a down payment, you know, we don't have to sit there and wonder, you know, am I going to be able to keep my salvation? Am I going to have to worry about it being gone? No, the Holy Spirit is given as the earnest of our inheritance. And we are assured of that future inheritance, that redeemed, so to speak, that body that we are going to have someday when we get over to eternity. This type of groaning that the Apostle Paul experienced ought to draw us closer to God rather than propelling us away from Him. These experiences of the Apostle Paul's life only helped him to dwell on the eternal even more in his life. You know, this morning, are you being overcome by the hardships of life? Or, with God's help, are you an overcomer? And are you overcoming those things with His power and with His aid? Where is your focus this morning? We must, if we're going to be a success in a Christian life, we must base our lives upon truth rather than on feeling. What is your life based on this morning? It's so easy to respond to things by how we're feeling, especially in the day and age in which we live. It's all about how you feel, about how you're perceived, about your, you know, self-esteem. And we have to be careful and recognize that it's so easy for us to fit in to the world around us. But God wants us to base our lives upon truth. Sanctify them through thy what? Through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And Paul says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And this was able to carry him through what he was going through. He knew what was going to take place in the future. And so the present things that he was experiencing, while they created hardship, while they were a burden, they did not cause him to be distressed. They did not cause him to go backwards in his spiritual life, but they propelled him forward. In fact, they propelled him to look forward to that day where he would be forever with his Lord. You know, we need to base our lives on truth over feeling. You know, Ephesians, there's some different areas in our lives that we need to base them on truth. The area of forgiveness, Ephesians 4:32. But be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even what? Even as God for Christ's sake hath what? Forgiven you. You know, our forgiveness is not based on how we feel. Whether we feel like forgiving that person or not at that particular moment. Forgiveness is based upon God forgiving us through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if we can learn this morning to put the truth of God's word above how we are feeling, it can save us from bitterness. It can save us from hardships. It can save us from so many things if we will simply learn to put the truth of God's word first. You know, young people, you know, the Bible says, you know, Colossians 3:20, to children, to obey their parents in all things, for this is what? Well-pleasing unto the Lord. No, well, I don't feel like obeying. Well, do you want to please God or do you not want to please God? Are you going to base your decision upon the truth of Scripture or how you are feeling at the present moment? You know, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the what? The first commandment with promise. It doesn't matter how you feel. It matters what the Word of God says. You know, the Bible talks about rejoice evermore. It says, in everything give what? Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You say, well, how can I be thankful in this situation? Well, are you going to put truth first? Or are you going to put your feelings first? You know, we would be saved from so much trouble and hardship in our lives if we would simply understand that the Christian life is based on truth, is based upon the revealed revelation in the Word of God, that which we know to be true, rather than what maybe our physical bodies are telling us. You know, our physical bodies are saying that pain is never going to end. It is going to continue on. You know, the devil wants to say that trial is going to continue on forever and is never going to end. But God wants us to trust Him. First of all, the foundational truth is that the Christian life is based on truth rather than feeling. Then the second one that really is very closely related to this one, and it enables us to base our lives on truth rather than feeling, and that is the second point that we find, and here it's in parentheses in verse number 7, is that the Christian life is based on faith rather than on sight, or rather than on what we see. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. He says in verse number 6 and also in verse number 8, he talks about confidence, this boldness, this courage that he has. Therefore, we are always confident. Verse number 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. There was this confidence that the Apostle Paul had in his life. This boldness, this courage. And why was it? Well, it's because he was basing his life on faith rather than by what he saw. You know, if you had these same things happen in your life, what would take place? Probably, I mean, to be honest, some of these things that happen, we hope we would respond in faith, but the natural thing would be become really tentative in life. You know, oh no, you know, all these things are happening to me. I mean, you know, if you've been out on door-to-door soul winning and somebody slams the door in your face and says, get out of here, I don't want to hear what you say, or maybe doesn't even say anything, just shakes her head and shuts the door, or however, whatever experience you've had. You know, do you feel like just, boy, after that experience just going on and the next door you have even more confidence? Well, our natural fleshly response is to kind of start feeling a little tentative about things. But no, we can't base the Christian life on what we see or on what happens to us. We must base it on faith, and that produces confidence in our life rather than producing fear. You know, most of us, when we think about death, or we think about dying, or we think about those things, I mean, what is the natural human response? And the natural human response is to have fear. You know, to wonder. That is the natural human response, but the response of faith is one of confidence. Therefore, he says, we are always confident. God has done this work, verse number 5. He has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is within us. He is preparing us for that future. Therefore, we are always confident. Then verse number 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And the Apostle Paul was looking forward to that day. You know, many times we can say it, say we're looking forward to heaven. You know, but are we really looking forward to that day? Do we have that boldness, that confidence of life that is a result of that faith that has been nurtured by the truth of God's Word? So that no matter what takes place in our lives, our confidence in God is unwavering. And that is what we have here in this passage. There was a confidence that the Apostle Paul has. He was willing to invest his whole life for the Lord because he understood what was going to happen in the future. Verse number 9 really comes to the whole comes to some of the conclusion here. He says, "Wherefore we labor." The laboring here is a labor because somebody who labors fervently, so to speak, because of the honor that is associated with that labor. You know, if you know, an honorable person, you know, came here today, and you know, say, you know, some people in the state won't think this, but say somebody in office came today, maybe say the governor came to our service today, and he asked you to do something for him, you know, maybe asked one of your children. We'll do it this. He asked one of your children, "Hey, I left, you know, my briefcase out in my vehicle. You know, would you be willing to go out in my vehicle and get my briefcase for me?" You know, and he asked Jonathan Hatchett. And, you know, do you think Jonathan would respond with, "Well, you know what? My parents already asked me twice to go out to the van and get something today that they left out there. And now you forgot something. And I really would prefer if you'd ask somebody else to do it because I've already gone out there twice to our van. And, you know, my parents asked me both times, and they have not asked Stephen yet to go out there, so maybe he would do it." Well, no, I think Jonathan would think, "Man, this is an honor that he asked me," and even, you know, maybe he throws you the keys to his car or something and says, "Hey, go out there and get it." You know, you'd feel honored. It would what? It would motivate you to go out there and to work. And when we work for the Lord, there ought to be a sense of honor that causes us to labor fervently for the one whom we are working for. Therefore, we labor. There's a sense of honor associated with that labor. We're laboring as if there is honor involved here. That whether present or absent, we may be what? Accepted of Him. There's some passages in the Word of God, the idea of accepted, accepting or well-pleasing of Him. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 21. Verses 20 and 21. Hebrews 13. It says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight." There's the acceptable there. That which is well-pleasing in His sight. "Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And here is a prayer for these people that God would be working in their lives, producing that which is well-pleasing in His sight. You know, that ought to be the prayer of our hearts this morning, that God would do that work in our lives so that we would be laboring and that all that we do would be well-pleasing in His sight. We must submit to God's working in our lives. That's what He's trying to do in our lives, is to make everything that we do well-pleasing in His sight. So if this is going to take place, we must submit to his working in our lives. And over in Romans chapter 12, in verse number 1. Our lives must be wholly dedicated to his service. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your what? Your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Notice there, acceptable unto God. You know, is your life this morning wholly dedicated to the service of God? Have you presented your body a living sacrifice, or have you been trying to hang on to it? Have you been reserving part of it for your sake, for your good? You know, that body, one day, you know, this body is temporary. Someday we're going to receive the eternal body. We need to use what God has given to us for Him while we have the opportunity. So we need to present our bodies to Him, but we also need to be willing to give of our resources. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18, as Paul comments on those that had given to him. In verse number 18, he says, "But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." It says, "An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice what? Acceptable, well-pleasing to God." You know, here these people were what? Willing to give of their resources to aid one of God's ministers. You know what? It was something that was what? Well-pleasing. It was something that was acceptable to the Lord. You know, are we going to labor with that sense of honor? You know, if we understand it in earthly terms, you know, if a high-ranking person asked us to do something, boy, we would feel honored that that person would ask us to do something. You know, if you got a personal call today from someone, and not just one of those personal calls, you know, asking for money, but, you know, a real personal call, you know, you'd feel honored. But how much more honor ought we to feel or to labor for, recognizing that we have been called by the God of heaven? And this temporary body that, yes, feels pain, yes, is burdened down, yes, there may even be groaning involved, that God is what? Preparing us for that eternal body that someday we will be in. And we need to be reminded is that is what we need to be living for, is the future, that home in heaven, that time where we will be present with the Lord. You know, and today, is that our earnest desire? Like the Apostle Paul, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You know, in another passage, he talks about how it's more needful for me to stay. And you know, the Lord has plans. He has purposes for each one of us. And we need to be willing to subject ourselves to that perfect plan that he has for our lives, so our lives will be well-pleasing in his sight. You know, is that the goal of your life, to stand before him someday and for him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the reminder that it is, Lord, of that which is worth living for. This morning, I pray that you would help each one of us, Lord, to learn to base our Christian lives on truth and on faith, rather than on feeling and on what we see. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, is the Lord working in your life? You know, maybe it's not in a trial you've experienced, but maybe it's something else. Maybe the area of forgiveness. You know, maybe it's in the area of obedience, young person. And God has worked in your life, and you've realized, you know what, I have been living my life based on how I feel rather than based on the truth of God's Word. And God has spoken to my heart this morning that I need to put aside my feelings, and I need to learn to trust Him, and I need to learn to base my decisions on truth. Maybe you need to have a battle plan in place so that when Satan tempts you the next time, you don't just jump to some feeling that you know you're going to experience, but you jump to the truth of God's Word. And God has spoken to your heart in that way this morning. Is there anyone like that today? Say, you know, I just want to surrender that to the Lord this morning. All right, is there anyone else today, Lord, is working your life in that area? All right. I wonder this morning, maybe, you know, you've lacked confidence in your life because you haven't been living by faith. And there's been fear, there's been dread, there's been, you know, whatever else you're experiencing because you just haven't been living by faith. And Paul had this confidence because he lived by faith. He wasn't living by the troubling circumstances that was going on around him, but his life was firmly planted on God's Word, and he was fully trusting Him. And maybe the need of your life this morning is to once again step out by faith and trust God instead of just living according to the up and down circumstances of life. Maybe this morning your need is for salvation. And maybe the Lord is showing you your need to fully trust Christ today for the salvation of your soul. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would just work in our hearts this morning. Lord, may your Holy Spirit convict where conviction is needed. Lord, may you encourage where encouragement is needed this morning. And may you be honored and glorified through all that is done. Lord, may you give us the power we need, the strength to obey your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.